The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, DennisPowersBooks.com. Of course, he's the author of Where Past Meets Present, where many of the profiles that we talk about on a weekly basis are there. You can read them all, okay? Dr. Powers, great to have you back. And today it is the city of Phoenix. The sun rises again. How are you doing this morning, sir? Welcome.
That's a great way of talking about it, because the sun does rise. And the city of Phoenix, my friend, was really an interesting story for me because of the fact that it goes all the way back for those listeners in Phoenix that 175 years ago, Samuel Culver took out a donation land claim. And what was interesting, Bill, was the fact that at this time you had Jacksonville, you had Phoenix, Talent, Central Point all going. Medford hadn't even started yet. Grants Pass was smaller. But in any event, Culver was a Texas Ranger and had studied law, and he served as an Indian scout, and his background in coming here was very much like Kavner, who we talked about, Thomas Kavner, with Gold Hill. They probably very well must have known each other. But Phoenix's first name was Gasberg.
And the reason I didn't know why, that. Gasberg. Okay.
And the reason why it was Gasberg was because they had a local flour mill that was created, and they had a young woman, Kate Clayton, who cooked for the men at the mill in Phoenix.
And, of course, there weren't many women's here in that point, right? So needless to say, Kate was probably quite getting a lot of attention. Wouldn't that be fair, right?
Not only that, she had many different admirers, and she was only about 20 years old. But she had, quote-unquote, a remarkable ability to carry on different conversations with her smitten men while she was cooking at the same time. So they gave her the nickname of Gassy Kate.
Gassy Kate.
And Gassy Kate then became Gasberg. But
so that was the first name for Phoenix, Gasberg, after Gassy Kate. I love that. Great story.
Yeah. But then when Phoenix got its name, it's because the owner of that flour mill was also an agent for the Phoenix Insurance Company of Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, okay. All right. Very
so
good.
When the post office was established at the mill, he just took the large metal insurance company plate and attached it to the front of this building as the name of the post office. It took time, but then the residents just said where are you going? Well, I'm going to Phoenix.
All right. So Gassy Kate fell away from Gasberg, and then it became Phoenix after that. Okay, that makes sense. I always wondered what the origin of that was. But then the railroad comes in the 1880s.
It does, and that was a big shift that came through, because it established towns, and it took away, and towns were abandoned because of where the railroad was coming through. And in any event, Phoenix was on the line, and it was even a possible nominee for county seat. But Medford, when it came to that, became the county seat because of the fact that it not only had the railroad, but it had a terminal. It also then had an airport that came through. Jacksonville lost influence, and so Medford then came. And then Medford became the central point of Jackson County.
All right. All meet a fire. Of course, you skip forward to 2020. Of course, that was a huge impact in Phoenix and in Talent.
That really was, Bill, because I many of us, like you, remember it well. And I remember it well because I used to come into Phoenix quite a bit for bridge tournaments. And I had a friend of mine in the Royal Oaks Manor Mobile Home Park, which was totally destroyed. And then we got into, you know, how underneath the Biden administration, things just didn't quite happen. So the state got involved with rebuilding the Royal Oaks Manor Mobile Home Park.
Yeah, and they bought all of those modular homes for, what, $24 million, right? And they didn't get a good deal on them, apparently. They were defective.
True, very true. They were defective with water leaks and mold. So to give you an idea of how well our state was going, although the city, to its credit, has a new fire station and Blue Heron Park, and houses have been really replaced because of the private insurance on it. But in this case, once the state got involved, it did its usual poor job. And with the defectiveness of these modular housing units, they then had to start auctioning it off for 22 cents in the dollar. They had paid over $170,000 per unit, and then in their auctions bill, they were receiving some $37,000. Nice going, Salem.
Yeah, nice going. But
Phoenix has shown this incredible ability because they know people there, and like you do, and they have really shown an incredible resilience in terms of rebounding back.
Now, however, though, there have been some political wrinkles kind of bubbling up there, and I shared with you, I ended up having the former mayor of Phoenix, Terry Baker, ended up popping to me the other day that the Phoenix City Council ended up going out there and, well, they honored someone who I'm kind of curious why they ended up getting an honoring. You kind of did a little digging on that. So could you tell us a little bit about that story? I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I did. And when you had shared the email to me, I started getting into it and doing research. The nominee and the one that was given the memorial award.
And this was a couple of weeks ago at a city council meeting that they did this. They put, what is it, Meba Solomon Getachew on a peace pole, I think is what that is, what they did.
Absolutely. And so when you check and you get into what was posted by the city council, was that Meba was an engineer, but he was born in Ethiopia. He came in to the United States at age 18, was then attended, and he did get two different degrees from Florida Athletic University. And then it was in civil engineering, and then after working here, he headed back to Ethiopia to help run his father's construction company, where he was there for about 5 years. Before moving back to the United States, and it looks like he had a small farming setup in 2020, December 2020.
And this was in Gold Hill, where that farm was located.
Because he actually, with his longtime friend from college, a person by the name of Gunnar Yeager, they were business partners, and they were able to secure, quote-unquote, a 12-acre farm that was in, and according to the posting, Gold Hill, Oregon. Well, then when you read through it all, and there's a number of pictures there, it states that Meba left this earth on November 29th, 2021, at the age of 32, and that was it.
So, well, there's a little bit more to it, though. And you
exactly.
dug into this. And this is the part that just that astounded me, that the current Phoenix City Council got involved with this. Why don't you tell us the whole story, Doug?
Oh, okay. Because when you go into it, you find out that, so sadly, Meba Solomon Getachew and also his longtime friend Gunnar Yeager, his partner in this 12-acre farm, in 2021, had headed down to Shasta County, and they were at the Best Buy in Redding, where they were making a deal with one Simon Tikue, T-I-K-U-E.
Uh-huh. In other words, they were going there to make a drug deal, in other words, with the marijuana.
They went down to do, according to the district attorney, the two victims came from Oregon to Shasta County to sell weed to Tikhu, who then robbed and murdered them both, tied them, and then took them to a remote location in Shasta County and murdered them on a drug deal gone bad.
Now, this is certainly something that it was certainly a tragedy, but why did the Phoenix City Council decide to make an honor of people, essentially, who were executed in a drug deal gone bad that they actually took part in? I'm trying to understand this one.
Well, that's an excellent point, because your email from Terry, the past mayor, was the one that brought this to your attention, and then I also dug into it. What do you think? Because it also goes in, my friend, in terms of how the Phoenix City Council was voting.
Yeah, and it's kind of split between conservatives and liberals there, you know, the way it's looking, with a mayor who was a Democrat, you know, from the sounds of it, though. But this is reminding me of very much that South County Ashland sort of thing. Like, why would, I mean, this is very sad, but it never even lived in Phoenix. So why did the city council get involved in honoring people who were executed in a drug deal gone bad that they themselves were part of? And now, of course, they'll say, well, it was just marijuana. Maybe that's the way they look at it now in Oregon. I don't know. Could be.
Well, Getachew was apparently with his wife and son, or actually his daughter, Maya, and his Great Dane, Spot, was living apparently in Ashland.
Mm-hmm. So living in Ashland, why is the city council getting involved in honoring someone who lived in Ashland, had a farm in Gold Hill, and I would imagine it was probably a weed farm. I think we can presume that must have been what was going on.
Although, there's a religious overtone completely to what the city council posted, and you had to really work Google to get into this information that was posted in the city council meetings of, what, maybe a couple of weeks ago or so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of weeks back. Yeah. Something tells me that the ideological shift in the Phoenix City Council, they're getting more closer to their talent and Ashland brethren, from the looks of it. In which we're, I guess, all that matters. I'm just trying to figure out, was Getachew somehow yet a member of the oppressed class because he originally came from Ethiopia? I don't know. Start to wonder.
Yeah, and then also when your listeners go into it, start investigating, and I'm sure you have listeners that were close to it who presumably were at that city council meeting.
Yeah.
Is the fact that apparently, according to our information that came in from the past mayor, was the fact that this passed with two yeses from conservative councillors and two votes yes from liberal councillors.
You know what this is reminding me of? The weak-kneed Republicans that will go along to get along with Democrats in the state legislature. Doesn't that remind you of that? That same kind of rhyming? Why would you do this? Huh?
Well, you know, we're seeing out of Salem different edicts that really have made Oregon the poster boy or girl for jokes nationally.
Well, yeah, dysfunction, certainly. All right.
And anytime, and it's amazing, I can find out more about Salem from national news, but of course it wouldn't be in the New York Times.
Yeah, sure. All right, Doc. Well, we'll kind of set that aside. We'll set that aside here at the moment. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll be right back. And let's get a little breakdown on the Trump legal 7-2 Supreme Court decision. Give me your take on that in just a minute. Could you do that before we leave? Would that be good?
Oh, there's a number of them. So which is this particular 7-2 one?
That's the one over this weekend. No more dirtbag deportation flights for right now.
Oh, you mean the Venezuelan one?
Yeah. That's the one. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Hang on. We'll have more with Dr. Powers coming up.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well...
KMED. The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Dr. Powers is back. We're past meets present. Doc, 7-2 Supreme Court over the weekend, middle of the night kind of ruling. No more dirtbag deportation flights for the time being here. What do you think about that? I think it was only Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito that seemed to... I don't know. Actually, pull for the country. I could be wrong about that, but what do you think?
You're absolutely right. Very disappointing as to what's going on, because in that, what really stood out was that the Supreme Court, quote-unquote, temporarily halted Venezuelan deportations, where you actually had two buses ready to go, and the ACLU, the good old ACLU, Soros's ACLU, came in very early Saturday morning and said directly to the Supreme Court, you got to stop this because the fact that it was an emergency type of motion made directly to the Supreme Court to stop the Venezuelan deportation. And this came across from Boasberg again, who is this friendly, Biden, Obama.
Yeah, is there any way to stop? Is there any way to stop the judge shopping, which is what they do right now?
That is the problem. That is a big problem. Even in Florida, they have an Obama appointee district court that has gone ahead and has put a hold on any deportation from Florida, whether it's deporting and trying to move out people who have committed crimes or not, blanket.
All right. Now, how do we get to this point, or how can we even think that they're serious about this, doctor? We're talking about people who never, and I mean never, capital N, had authorization to be in this country. And then to remove people who have never had authorization to be here in this country in the first place, all of a sudden we're talking hearings. And we need big trials and hearings, because with this kind of, if this stands, no one is going to be removed from this country if you're going to go down that road. Am I wrong or right? What do you think?
That is the problem. If you take a look at it, you can just say, who appointed this district court judge? It's federal courts that are doing this, even into state courts. Obama, Biden, follow the money. Campaign contributions come in to these judges in certain ways. And if you follow the money, the law that they are applying that, yes, we have jurisdiction where they don't, is one to where the Republicans are trying to stop it. They have a House resolution that was passed, but it's got to go before the Senate, but they need 60 votes, which they won't get. And so what's happening here is that the far left, and this is far left, have decided to double down, saying we can go ahead and get in 2 years or a year and a half, we can get the Congress back, and we are going to prevail, and we will have this country back as we wanted underneath Biden.
So the Democrats stand for loving the illegal alien dirtbag criminal, and that men can become women, right? That's essentially what they'll be running on, I guess, is what we're looking forward to.
What's happening, though, is that they're going to ride on the drive-by media that hasn't changed, Times, Chronicle, things like this, who are supporting their PR, and, for example, having to do with the El Salvadorian one that we have this big issue over that is being decided also by the Supreme Court, you have the situation, where they're going to go ahead and say, oh, no, it's the fact that people of color are the ones that are at risk by Trump.
Here it is. For the most part, if you came here illegally, you are a person of color. That is your problem. You know, that's not a characteristic of illegality. That's a characteristic of these particular people who committed illegalities to be here. Now, my question is, what can the Supreme Court do on something like this? Why would they go there, in the first place? Because obviously when you have essentially people who are connected with cartel activity, and they all are. They all are. This is what is pretty well known. It's like everybody seems to know that they're a cartel. Cartels are obviously, they're at war with us one way or the other. why shouldn't they be able to use that 1790s era law to be able to do this? What do you think, honestly, you know, on the legal side of it? And why would the Supreme Court just stop it now instead of just defer to the executive to take care of the executive?
There's two different questions here. One is this absolute ridiculous acceptance of jurisdiction over the country by individual district court judges. That's one thing that's trying to be reined in. The second thing, of course, is the use of this Alien Act. The key thing here, 50-50, my friend, is that the Supreme Court will go ahead and rule on both of those in this case that's coming up again from this out-of-line, careening, liberal, far-left Boasberg judge. And that is the problem, because hopefully they'll go ahead and confirm a Supreme Court decision. Bottom line.
So do you think, though, that it was good that they denied it just so they can now take it on and kill it? Is that what you're thinking or not?
That is a 50-50 possibility. And here's why. The Supreme Court had ruled in 1952, that there are no hearings required when you're using the Enemies Act. But the far-left, Soros-funded district court judges are coming in here saying every person has a right to due process now in this day and age, especially these newbies that got on the Supreme Court that were appointed by Biden and Obama.
What's the point of being a citizen if absolutely every privilege granted to a citizen is given to someone who never was supposed to be here, never played by the rules right from the beginning? Where am I wrong on this?
In terms of looking at citizens versus illegal immigrants, citizens have much more in the way of rights, and this act could not be used ever to deport a U.S. citizen.
True.
As a matter of fact, Bill, if a U.S. citizen goes ahead and heads off to Russia and turns and gives all the secrets of the Defense Department in terms of atomic nuclear energy regulations and different types of actions, that person can come back to the United States and cannot be deported if a citizen. But what's happening is the far left and the Democratic Party is refusing to go ahead and to reach out to moderate Democrats. The far-left party is going to continue and double down with far-left, what we saw in Biden, and that's the Democratic Party now everywhere.
It's pure politics, I guess, in this particular deal.
Yep.
You know, I'm just wondering how big of a sales job they can accomplish with this, because I've been talking a lot about a piece that I read from a blogger over on Daily Reckoning, and it had to do about Catholic philosophers that talked about the order of love, and the order of love meaning that you love God first, you love yourself properly ordered second, you love your countrymen and your town next because they are the, or your kin next, and then your town and country because they have natural bonds. And it seems like everything that is being challenged right now is about this forcing of love and charity and resources, including citizenship and everything else, to people who are not deserving of it. They're taking it away. They're taking it from the mouths of people who actually belong here. And I don't think this is going to stand here, Doctor. I could see the point coming where the president will, you know, truly defy them at some point. What about you?
I agree with you on that. I'm hopeful. The reason is that even Republicans now, because they look at their 401k and they're saying, this is not what I was looking for. I don't think Trump is going to go, of course, for a third term. But his what he's doing is he's rolling his internal dice for trying to take care of the trade deficit problems in China, and that he's going to be able to get that solved, get the stock market back within, let's say, a year before the elections come up in 2026. And that's the risk that he's taken. And that's the reason why this for love, you know, there are people who are socialists who do not accept Jesus
Well, they're loving the wrong people right now.
Well, because they're agnostic.
Yeah.
Because you got to have to worship the government. You cannot have an intermediary. And that's this reason. So the PR that they're switching that you're seeing at the Times, I'll go through the newspaper section and always go through to see what the Times are saying every single day so I can see how they're spinning things. The Times is also, New York Times, Eastern, is behind this mantra of you need to show love to everyone. And as soon as they get their way, forget about the love.
Yeah, listen, you can show universal love, but that doesn't mean you have access to us and access and forced charity for us either or from us, okay?
I agree.
Yeah, all right, and that's where we find ourselves right now.
I agree, but you see, the war hasn't stopped. And every time I see some other decision, I'll turn to Judy and say, well, Nicaragua, we're not out of the woods with Biden because the far left cannot stand having given up power when they came so close to it by one bullet.
Yep, there you go. Doc, thanks so much. We'll have you back next Monday for sure. And you be well. Thank you very much.
Be well and take care.
Where past meets present, 842 KMED.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to
Central Point.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Oh, I lost Glenn Archambault. Yeah, I thought he was going to call here just a moment. Hey, Glenn, give me a call. For some reason, I'm having trouble getting out. He was going to tell me more about what was happening with the milk issue and also some challenges he's having with some predators out there, too. All right, we'll get back to that here in just a moment. Why don't we do some of those emails of the day? Emails of the day are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. Central Point FamilyDentistry.com. And they have a pretty cool deal there right now, which involves dental insurance. If you don't have dental insurance, they have a dental plan. It works a lot like dental insurance, except that it's much more affordable and much better benefits. Find out more at CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com, and we will take care of that for sure. I'm going to give an email of the day to Ann. Ann ends up kicking in here. Bill, CJD and the spike protein. We were talking about that earlier this morning with Dr. Thorpe, MD. Says John, I have no proof. Oh, wait a minute. I had the wrong one. Here we go. Bill, CJD is mad cow for humans. And per the spike protein, this is ugly. Epic Times had an article last week that the spike protein is causing mental health issues. The excuse for Democrat nuttiness? I think she's being a little sarcastic there. But have you noticed that Bill Gates has gotten kind of quiet recently? He had his fingers in Wuhan and the COVID vax. Funny thing. And he is an avowed eugenics nut. For sure. Okay. 770-5633. Betty writes in here, Bill discovered that the Daily Courier has raised its home delivery price to $25. Great guest on the show now. Oh, the doctor from this morning. I'm glad you like that here, Betty. What else do we have going on? Bill, this is John writing me saying, Bill, I have no proof, but do you think that Ashland police were reluctant to arrest Mr. Herget the other day? Remember, this is the person who had the kidnapping and kept the guy buttoned up there for a couple of days in Ashland, and then they wouldn't do anything about this because they were concerned about the firearms that he had. They were concerned for the community. And then he ends up being bust loose. He's running around for a few more days, and then he causes a lot of other assaults and mayhem. But John says, Bill, I have no proof, but do you think that the Ashland police were reluctant to arrest Mr. Herget on the original crime data because of the kidnapping, etc., was actually a lover's spat that went terribly wrong? That was my thought after finding out that the victim was a male and not a female, or the sex assault. That's very interesting, John. It's a pure conjecture at this point, but it does make one wonder, given this is the city of Ashland that we're talking about, and something tells me that the decision to not do anything came from higher up than just a patrol officer. In my opinion, okay? We'll see. We don't know at this point in time. Let me go to Glenn Archambault. Glenn Archambault is our elected farm services representative here in Southern Oregon. Glenn, welcome back. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Bill. Beautiful day out there, unless you're a dairy cow.
I wanted to ask you about this because I was at Safeway the other day trying to get some organic milk from my mom. That's what she drinks exclusively. And they talked about a nationwide shortage, and they had not a drop of organic dairy in that store. And that kind of surprised me, given how big a chain that Safeway Albertsons is. What's going on with that, do you know?
Well, it's across the industry, Bill. There's the big item is feed, organic feed that's needed to meet that organic certification at the dairy, mm-hmm. and that's way up in price and short on delivery in some areas. But there's a bigger item in place here right now, Bill. When you stood in front of the dairy case, did you notice how many different products are now on that dairy case?
Yes.
And so that's become an economic load for both the retailer and the producer. Because we must have 100 different things in that case.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's amazingly rich in some ways. Now, I was able to get it over at Sherm's. That's just where I went down to. They had no shortage, it would appear. Is this something which is like a supermarket chain will have a particular batch of suppliers and then other ones have different ones or not?
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely going to be a problem. Depends on if you've paid your bills. That's always an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I'm seeing right now, this has been a long-term issue. This didn't happen yesterday. The dairy industry has been looking hard at the organic side because of the overhead. And one of the big ones is on the western part of the country. Organic feed is expensive, and it's short in supply because of the weather. And so that's hurt things. You know, no doubt, Bill, it'll come back. You'll see those organic products back on the shelf.
Okay.
So it's not like we're not having, you know, we know how to make organic milk. We know all that. It's making the numbers work that we're struggling with.
I'm going to ask, this may be a dumb question to someone who is not, I've never been involved in animal husbandry, okay? So pardon me if I'm being dumb about this. Can't you just feed them grass?
No.
Oh.
It's got to be certified organic.
So it has to be certified organic grass?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I got lots of background in that.
Okay, so you can't.
And they're mean guys. They come out to the field and actually test everything.
Oh, okay. All right. Now I feel dumb. All right. I guess maybe. All right. So it's something that will come back. Expensive feed, yada, yada, yada. And now, please don't tell me that we get organic feed for the organic cows from non-so-organic China. Do we or not?
Oh, I'm sure somewhere we do.
Okay.
Everything's become so global. And I was just going through the price support on dairy a week or so ago, and it's a huge industry in this country.
Why do we still have dairy? No, listen, wait a minute. Organic milk is like $7.99 a half gallon in many cases. Yep. Why is there a price support for that, or is there?
Because it didn't make any money.
At $7.99 a half gallon, they can't make money?
No. The overhead's killing them. And so none of this makes any sense. You know, when you first encounter.
What was that, Glenn? I lost you there. So nothing, I lost you. Nothing makes sense here. Go ahead and repeat that, please.
You've got to keep the dairy alive. No, you know, we can't keep losing dairies. We lost a whole lot of dairies in the last 10 years. And so the feds, the USDA, you know, they got to deliver all the little cartons of milk to the kids and all the other people that need that milk. And so that's what they're supporting with the price supports. Keep the product flowing, keep everybody happy, which clearly is not happening this morning. Your mom's probably really ticked off that she doesn't have the right organic milk.
She's okay. She's okay because I drove and spent more fossil fuels than went and found some at Sherm's. So she's good. She's fine. Okay. All right.
Oh,
okay. Now, all right, we'll set that aside. So now we understand that it's just for some chains and some brands, et cetera. All right. And it will probably work itself out. What about the eggs? Where are we looking at on the egg situation? Are the herds starting to get rebuilt yet?
You know, Bill, an interesting, it's one-sided, but last night, 60 Minutes had a whole section about these issues, the eggs, the dairy, bird flu, very scary, mm-hmm. scaring the public is what's really going on. And so it's hard to say on the doing, they'll get all those dead chickens out of there and clean everything up, and they'll get back to business. And I have no doubt that won't happen. You got to always remember how big USDA and how big the dairy and the whole farm. We are huge, you know, so we're always overwhelming everything.
All right. Let me shift it to on a personal side. I know that I was told by Angie the other day that you are having difficulties with predators here in Southern Oregon at your sheep farm in the Phoenix area. Is that true?
Yes, it's very true. And it's not just here on this farm. If you keep up with the wolf issue, you know, they finally collared a wolf that was killing cattle. The reason this is such a big deal is because everything's in such tight margins. You know, you can't give up animals to predators. That just is not part of the options. But that's what we're doing. And so I can only imagine some of the stories across Oregon and the West Coast, how much we're losing and how much trouble this has caused. But here's a big one, though, Bill.
What?
Does that coyote or mountain lion or whatever horrible creature that's out there, is it carrying the bird flu from farm to farm? I don't know. I have people working on that, though, because I need to know that.
Has anything – pardon me, let me try this again here, Greg. Glenn, it's been a long morning, okay?
Bill, I'm losing you. Whoa, speak up.
All right. I will try my best here, Glenn.
Okay.
I was thinking about Greg Roberts with his wolf talk that he would come on and discuss this. Are we overrun with more wolves than even the state of Oregon claims that we have? What do you think?
It's very possible. Wolves, coyotes, lions are very crafty creatures. Generally, they don't get themselves shot or run over or whatever. And so it's hard to say how many are really out there. And as far as farming's concerned, what we're really concerned with is the deadly animals, the animals that come in that know they're going to kill, and that's what they're doing. That's a big problem. The animals that are causing no harm are not a problem. Until you get to something like the bird flu. If that were the case, because other animals like my sheep have to have small tags in their ears in order to cross state lines.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I don't know. We are opening up a box we haven't looked in very hard, Bill.
Do you need help from the community to help, with your predator issue?
Well, we need to decide, I mean, are we farming or are we, you know, taking care of wildlife? That's really
Can you repossess your phone? I'm losing you here, buddy. I only got about a minute left.
I'm losing you, Bill.
Okay. Glenn, I'll get you back when we can get you on a different line, okay? Okay, we'll do that because, are we here to protect, are we here to farm or are we here to coddle the wolf, I guess is the big question, and the coyotes too, for that matter. Glenn Archambeau, our elected farm representatives, we'll have him back on another day on a different line, okay? It's 8:58.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precision and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit Stephen Westfall.